We're down to the home stretch here. Orange County is still fighting for a playoff position. They've got some important matches coming up starting this weekend against San Antonio FC. We've got someone to help us out with breaking down or previewing that match. And we'll have to talk about last week where we finally were defeated in what, 10 matches now? So we'll get into that. Let's get started. Welcome to the Podcast of Champions. This is the Orange and Black Soccer Cast.
This is the Orange and Black Soccer Cast, the first and only podcast dedicated to Orange County Soccer Club, its fans, and supporters. Follow us on Twitter at @OCSC_SoccerCast or on Facebook at Orange and Black Soccer Cast.
How's it going, Orange County? Welcome to another episode of the Orange and Black Soccer Cast, the first and only podcast dedicated to Orange County Soccer Club, its fans, and supporters. I'm your host, Ray Samora, and I'm here to take you through this journey as we discuss all things Orange County Soccer Club. Who's helping me out this week? Well, first, the return of the original co-host of this podcast. I don't know where he's been, but he's back, at least for this episode. Dylan, how are we doing, Dylan?
I'm doing well. There's Steve Miller reference I could make. There's a Grateful Dead reference / traditional folk reference I could make. I've been around, and now I'm back. So pleasure to be here, everyone.
There you go. Or a Tupac reference I get around. Also helping us out in this episode, we've got the man from Vegas, and that is Brad. Brad, how you doing?
I, too, am back, and I don't know why Dylan's making faces at me with his walls looking like a baby's butt cheeks, so. They're empty and white.
I'm offended. Do you not see all of this sound insulation everywhere? I mean, come on.
It's on the floor. Can it really insulate
anything? Yeah, it's supposed to be
anything?
Hung on the wall.
Yeah.
What about the one that's there? I don't live in Vegas. I'm not taking this.
And then, hey, the bearded one himself. We've got Larry. We've already gotten off to a great start, folks. And we're what, a minute in, 2 minutes in here. So 3 minutes.
What's up, guys? Great to see everybody. Dylan, always a joy to have you here. Miss you when you're not. And man, that is just so much hair. Can you just take off the headphones and just do this for me? Because I need to see that.
I am not going to do that. But I can assure everyone that, yes, my hair is horrifically long. I believe Brad at one point sometime last year referred to me as Gareth Bale. It's worse than that. We have gone long past Gareth Bale at this point. Yeah, long intro, long hair.
Okay,
I've got nothing.
We've got one other person helping us, and this person's joining us to help us talk about our upcoming opponent this weekend. Actually, it's an opponent we're going to play two times in the final three matches of the season. San Antonio FC. Really, these matches between Orange County and SAFC could mean everything for the positioning for these two teams. Really, this is where it goes, right? So currently, San Antonio sitting in second, Orange County sitting in third. Orange County had an opportunity to gain some ground, but laid a goose egg against Colorado Springs. Let's talk about this match first, though, against San Antonio. And Harry, I'm going to jump to you first on this. What is up recently with San Antonio, and how are you feeling heading into the final stretch of the season? Pull the Brad. I don't know if our producer muted him or not, but he pulled the Brad.
My bad, dude. Hello. Sorry. Last year, everything went smooth, perfect. This year, going into the playoffs, pretty much the exact opposite. So as a San Antonio FC fan, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm a little bit nervous, a whole lot nervous than I was a month ago when, you know, I was kind of right talking a little bit of trash about Orange County. But I own it. We'll see how this streaking goes with this here. But I'm looking forward to the match. Should be a fun match. I think we've got two matches at home to finish out the season. So this is the second to the last match. But for San Antonio FC, I know it's kind of odd to say. I think we're on a 6-game winless streak, 5 draws, 1 loss, which for us is kind of a bad streak. We went three games without scoring a goal. This last match against Tampa, we scored 3, but then we allowed 3. So should be interesting.
In your opinion, from what you've seen from them, what's been the biggest or the biggest problem for them over this recent run of form? Or is there not one thing? Maybe it's just bad luck. I don't know. What's been going on?
No, with San Antonio, you know, we'll just use our goalkeeping as an example. We brought back Santiago Patino, and then Tani's kind of cooled off. And you got to wonder if maybe there's too many cooks in the kitchen kind of going on there to where they've got the talent, but we're, 30 games into the season, and yet we're still trying to mix new ingredients into the team. And instead of having your roster set, you know, we keep doing it. And like I said, and the reason why I bring up the goalkeeper, they got Mansgoff on loan from MLS. He got cut from Inter Miami in one of the salary issues with, you know, Garber funny math in MLS. So Jordan Farr most likely will be on the bench because the guy that they brought in has to play the 5 games if he's going to be eligible for the playoffs, or has to appear in the 5 games. And with goalkeeping, it's not one that you typically sub in and out. He started the last match against Tampa. So it's one of those situations where I think tactically San Antonio is going through some changes. They went to a 4-3-3 this last match against Tampa. And in the first half worked out really, really well. But, you know, then they brought in Bautista. Nathan, you know, got subbed off. Switched back to the, 5-3-2, you know, depending on how it shows on the pitch. And basically in a 15-minute span, San Antonio went from up 2-0 to down 3-2, and they got a late goal, to escape with a draw. But it's kind of odd. In we know that repeating is hard. Obviously there's a reason why it's not done in USL very often, even with a talented team like San Antonio FC. But to me, the Orange County matches, because it's 2 and 3 weeks, right? If memory serves me correct, it's going to be a challenge, I think, for both teams. But it's a good test for the playoffs. And at this time, that's all you can ask for.
Hey, Harry, let me ask you, You got to go see my other team play, I believe, Sunderland.
Yes.
Tell me about that match. How was the atmosphere there? Were there a lot of Sunderland fans in the stadium? Talk to me a little bit about that, because I tried to talk my fiance into letting me go to San Antonio, but she said no.
So, as somebody that roots for Newcastle, it was a interesting match, and we actually got to experience a practice of Sunderland's, and me being the smart genius I am, I wore my Newcastle scarf, and let me just tell you, I don't think I've been yelled at by old men as much as I was that game, where I think they were ready to fight me, and I was like, dude, it's just a scarf, calm down. It's a whole different level, though, when you're talking about that, but no, the game was fun. Obviously, you know, San Antonio played the first half of starters and then brought in academy kids. And to me, the biggest difference is, you know, we'll use Santiago Patino as an example, or, you know, the very best of USL Championship players. Their whole roster is those type of players, where they're tall, strong, fit. And to me, just the difference in the size, the difference in their athletics, it was noticeable. And like I said here, I think we lost 3-1, if memory serves me right. But it was a fun night. To me, what made it awesome is Sunderland to be, you know, give them full credit. You know, they walked around, signed autographs, you know, with the match day poster. So my, you know, my kids got, you know, that all framed up and stuff. But no, it's a fun experience. And like I said here, hopefully, you know, Orange County will be able to pull in, you know, pull in, you know, some friendlies like that in the future, especially with the relationships you guys build over in Europe. I think it's a boon for USL. And I know Sunderland played us, New Mexico and North Carolina FC out of League One before they flew back home. But to me, it was a cool thing. I think 3 years ago we had Cardiff City, you know, come to San Antonio, and that was kind of unique. We get a lot of Liga MX teams, so, but getting a Europe team is definitely cool. And of course, you know, Sunderland was this close to going to the Premier League last year, and
so close. So close.
but we don't know anything about that over here in stateside. So.
No. One day we will get that. And speaking of, you know, championships and promotions and all that, you as a San Antonio fan, you got to experience what Orange County experienced just a couple of years ago, just the year before. I know what my personal journey was during that season and losing my mind for, you know, three playoff games in a championship. Tell me about your emotional ride through that. Tell us all about your emotional ride through that last year.
So I'd went through it before with the San Antonio Scorpions in 2014 in the NASL title. And then the year after that, they folded. So I won't lie to you. I was like, please don't fold San Antonio FC, because this is what lower league soccer. But to me, it was a fun experience. If you ever get the opportunity, especially we had all the matches at home, which I know you guys did not. You guys had to travel to Tampa for, you know, for the final. But having that home field, it matters when it comes to the postseason. I think you guys saw that, you know, the year before hosting the Western Conference final. We saw, you know, in San Antonio last year being able to host all the way through. But last year's team was special. And it, you know, they had a good vibe with the community. All of them interacted well. You know, it was a fun team to follow. And, you know, obviously the role that they got on, you know, helped, you know, where to me they were clearly the best team, or this year, especially out West, I don't know who you could say is the best team. You know, I think you'd lean a little bit Sacramento, but I think all of, you know, I think what the top four, top five, you know, if you include San Diego, realistically have a shot to get out of the West. And I think that's kind of the difference, where I think last year, if somebody beat out of the West, if somebody beat San Antonio, I think it would have been a huge upset, just the role that SAFC was on. And then of course, in the final, to be able to beat Louisville, they're going for their ninth straight Eastern Conference finals. So I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. And I think they've got two titles out of that stretch, but to be able to beat, you know, a respectable organization like that, it was something. And then of course, being able to spend it with AJ and you know, I brought some of his teammates that he plays on his club team with, you know, they were able to kind of experience it. So, you know, anytime you can celebrate a title, it's awesome. You know, being able to go downtown, you know, we had a parade at the Riverwalk, and you know, Tainer and others jumped into the Riverwalk, which I would never suggest to do that.
Fell in, didn't jump in, fell in.
No, they young. Jumped in.
No,
they
no, no. I'm talking in. About me.
Oh.
about 30 years ago, I was coming like out of Dirty Nellies.
It like requires like 10 tetanus shots after you get.
Yeah,
into
I was
that
gonna
water,
say
right?
You had to get some shots or something.
Oh, I had shots in me beforehand. Trust me, that's why I fell in the river.
Well, these guys volunteered jumping in, and, you know, we'll just say that's not advised. You know, number one, it's probably illegal to do so outside of that environment. But now, to me, you know, and I'm sure you guys can experience it, it's a special moment. And for me to be able to, you know, do two of them in kind of a 10-year period, you know, it's very fortunate. And, you know, luckily we've had pretty good years. You know, even we've missed some playoffs a couple, you know, especially starting out with SAFC early, but you know, like I said here, it, you know, what can you say? Winning the title, especially at home, you know, there's nothing that beats that. And it's, you know, it's a memory that me and AJ will have, and, you know, and his teammates that'll have hopefully for the rest of our life. And hopefully San Antonio FC will be around for all that time.
Harry, I do just want to say, actually, in fact, flying across the country and winning a title in a city in which you can just openly have open containers about is actually the way to do it. Especially when you are feeling really excellent the next morning and the next night on your flight back. But of course, we here at the Orange and Black Soccercast do recommend that you drink responsibly so you don't fall into a river or stumbling around St. Petersburg, Florida. Harry, quick question for you. It's been I'm going to be frank, it's been poor for San Antonio. Like you said, 6 matches without a win. Is it a matter of playing down to your opponents, as Orange County are often to do, or is it just bad luck? Also, follow-up addendum question, your last name is Austin, yet you're a San Antonio fan. Curious.
Yes. So, for San Antonio, it's one or two errors. It's not being able to finish. They get the attacks, and previously San Antonio, they'd play too narrow. They tried playing, I call it kickball, where you just try to kick it over, get on Tani, get on Patino, and they're not pressing as much this year. I think if you look at the numbers, their pressing isn't as aggressive, but when they do it, it's typically effective. And I won't lie, some of the technical changes that Coach Marcina's done this year hasn't worked compared to last year when they did work. So, I wouldn't say it's bad luck. I just think that the run that they got on last year, it was so special that everything went right. This year, and you guys know this, from repeating, number one, you get everybody's best shot. Everybody's stepping up to the plate, to defeat the champions. Number two, it's hard to repeat. It just is, whether it's that lack of hunger or whatever, because they just won. But it is just, I wouldn't say it's bad luck. It just, I think there's just been those little mental lapses, whether it's not being able to finish, not being able to make the runs, lapses in defenses, where they're not getting back like they should. And as you know, in this league, especially in the West, one or two of those a game makes a difference between, we've got, 5 draws. And I think if you had looked most of those, you would have thought that San Antonio should have won, like this last match against Orange County. To me, we were up 2-0, we were controlling, and then Coach Marcina made a technical change. It allowed a good team like Tampa to get back in. They got the rhythm. And, when you do that against good teams, they're going to punish you. And, he made some tactical adjustments. And I think for San Antonio fans, we were lucky to get away with a draw with a last minute goal. But it's as the champion, as you guys know, and I know you guys had some injuries and some horrible luck, on your guys' repeat year. But it's not easy. It's why it doesn't get done. And if, to me, my question is, can San Antonio FC flip that switch where they can eliminate these mistakes in these next, we got 4 games left. I think you guys still have 5 for that.
Yeah, we have some tough matches too, because all the teams we're facing are
playoffs.
In playoff contention. They're trying to get their final seeding, which is difficult. But I think I would prefer that run into the playoffs, then maybe getting some easy, getting a Vegas or an RGV in the final couple matches. Stay focused, really keep pushing and have, take everyone's best shot going into the playoffs. And if you can get a nice run, which again, we've talked about this, that's U.S. soccer. You make a run at the right time, you're going to have a good shot of winning a championship. And that's what the playoff format is. It's not like, where, just you're fighting for the top of the table of the season. Harry, do you have any?
I will say this. San Antonio, as of yet, hasn't got on a run all year. And that's the scary thing is we're talking about winless in six, but it's five draws. So it's not like they've lost. It's not like we're El Paso where we went 1-10 and then you had six or seven losses and a couple of draws in there, for another stretch going there. San Antonio's draws feels like a loss. And I think that's a key point that's kind of being missed even by San Antonio FC fans is when we're doing poor, it's not like they're losing. Now they've dropped some unexcusable matches. Like I went to Detroit, they scored a banger and they couldn't do anything, Miami FC. So, whether it's a lack of focus, along those lines here, but to me, it's, and I think this goes for Orange County as you guys go down the stretch here. It's about, putting wins on. And let's be honest with you, whoever finishes second or whoever finished third could be extremely important for that third, if we face each other again a third time, whether that match is in Orange County or if the match is in San Antonio.
Cool. And you're talking about it, right? Take two of those draws and turn them into wins. You guys are top of the West with the table. So that's how important some of those that, and that's probably why those feel like losses for your club. Just like, when we were on our big run, we're pushing higher up the table and a draw and then a loss it just feels bad. It feels bad, right? Because that was our opportunities to try and catch up to San Antonio in those moments as well. So, for Orange County, if we would have won both of those matches, we're now even at least on points. Now, goal differential, y'all have us beat. There's no chance unless we just destroy you in our two matches that we're catching up on goal differential.
No, we're up, Ray. We're sitting on 47 right now, right? San Antonio is at 51. If we take those other 5 points that we dropped in those two games, guess what?
Oh, yeah, we'd be ahead of them. We'd be ahead of them.
Point up with a game in hand.
Yeah, okay.
And goal difference won't matter.
Because we have the head-to-head.
It'll be head-to-head. And then I think the other alternative is how you do in conference along those lines here.
All the weird tiebreaker stuff. I don't know why I always focus on goal differential a lot of the time. Predictions for this match? Unless you do. Wait. Well, Harry, do you have a question for us?
So, are you guys at all concerned with, and I know it seems silly because it's only two matches, but we've seen it with teams that go on a long run, and then once that streak is broken, it kind of goes the other way a little bit. Is that a concern for you guys at all, especially where this match is in San Antonio as opposed to being in Orange County? Because I think if it's in Orange County, I think you guys would – I'd probably predict favor you guys, if I was Vegas, where Bradley is, probably predict Orange County win if I was Vegas. But
I will answer this, Harry. For me personally, yes. I am concerned, especially after this Colorado game, and we'll touch on that a little bit more later on in the show. The Colorado game is a game that reminded me, this is just me, this is just my opinion, it reminded me a little bit too much of how the team was playing early in the season. There was not a lot of cohesiveness. There was not a lot of creativity. There was a lot of listlessness, and it was not Orange County's best effort against a team that was visibly not as strong a team as Orange County is or as Orange County has been over the past 2.5 months. So yes, going into San Antonio against an incredibly strong team, even if you ain't got a win in six, it's still San Antonio. And we're talking about a team that has a long history of success and a lot of really talented players. And it's a concern for me. And it's a disappointment that we didn't get those 5 points and leapfrog over San Antonio. I thought that it shouldn't have been a problem. Turned out to be a little problem. Let's hope it's just a little hiccup in the road and that we go down to go down to actually one of my favorite cities in the entire country, actually on the entire planet, San Antonio. And hopefully, they come out of there. Milan scores 5 or 6, and we come out of there with 3 points.
So, to me, this series is, you know, it's what, 3 wins for San Antonio, 4 draws, and 4 for Orange County. And it's always been tight. To me, you know, I could see, I hate saying this, I could see this being another draw. You know, further just on how these two teams match up. Historically, outside of 2018, if you take away 2018, where Orange County just, you know, rolled San Antonio, you know, for that here. But to me, for I think for Coach Marcina, you know, for SAFC, it's, I hate saying it's a must win, you know, for it here, but I really do think it is a must win if they want to get that second slot. Just because San Antonio goes on the road for their next two against Oakland and then against you guys in Orange County. So two trips against playoff teams, and then we get Indy at home to wrap up. But, you know, Orange County and Oakland, not easy places to play at, you know, out west for San Antonio.
Should be a fun 3 weeks for all of us.
This will be very interesting to see how all these teams end up, the final positionings, and then how that equates to playoff runs for all these teams. Because there's a lot, like Harry said, a lot of quality teams in the West that it's going to make it very difficult for all these teams to make it out. Maybe that's an advantage for the East because we're going to beat ourselves up in the playoffs. But maybe it's an advantage for us because now we're battle-tested. Who knows? Let's do this really quick. Let's do some predictions for this game. We'll go into the prediction scores later because we got to sort of talk about it. But let's just get score predictions for this match, and I'll let you go first, Harry. What's your score prediction for this match? Go for it.
I'm going to go 3-2 San Antonio. I think it's going to be high scoring. I think both offensives play it. You know, we've got elite strikers on both sides, and I think just like the Tampa match, I expect San Antonio to come out with a 4-3-3. I'm hoping. I think it's going to be, you know, 3-2, you know, 3-3 if it's a draw. I think you're going to see multiple goals scored, you know, on this match. I think it's going to be that way. And to answer the other guy's question, as far as Tani, we brought in Santiago Patino, who's been the one scoring goals. And Tani, unfortunately, has hit that rut where he can't hit the broadside of a barn right now when it comes to his opportunities. He's had a few of them, and he's either just whiffed or just missed on it. But he's getting the opportunities. It just, you know, strikers goes on streaks. And right now he's kind of in a cold streak, but he's still being fed the ball, and, you know, you got to figure if he gets one, you know, there'll be multiple that come after that. Milan, I think, is the Orange County forward that typically scores in bunches as well.
That's a good way of putting it.
What's your prediction, Larry, and who's the first scorer in the match?
What do I do now? My string got broken. Do I go back to it and hope that the mojo comes back, or do I go with what I think is going to happen? What do you guys think?
It was a prediction.
My prediction.
Yeah, your prediction.
1-1. Sparky, not Sparky, Thomas Amang scores for Orange County first.
Brad, what's yours?
Just like my amount of talking during this section or segment, I don't think very much is going to come into this game. I think both defenses are just really good. So I'm going to say 0-0.
Dylan.
2-2, Milan.
Perfect. And then Harry, do you have any message to Orange County fans and players and what to fear out of San Antonio? Last, quickly.
No messages, because, you know, I'm not Coach Norvell, you know, with Colorado State. I don't want to, you know, kick the Buffalo or anything along those lines. So Orange County is awesome. They're, you know, a great team, great organization.
And perfect. Coach Norvell can go back to being useless elsewhere.
Harry, thank you so much for joining us here. For those that want to listen to his podcast, he does this SA Soccer Roundtable, San Antonio Soccer Roundtable. Follow him on Twitter. His Twitter's right there on the screen. Friend of the show, likes to talk trash sometimes, but he's a good friend of the show. He's been on here multiple times. And he didn't take the bait. I wanted him to say something to motivate the Orange County players, especially our next guest that we're going to bring on here to the show, who's waiting in the green room and probably could hear everything we're saying. So I was hoping he would say something that would motivate into the match, but he didn't take the bait. Thank you, Harry.
Thank you, guys. See you guys later. Have a good show.
Thanks, Harry.
So let's jump now to our next guest. We're going guest to guest here. Andy. I didn't know it was Andy. Andy's not jumping on. Andy's not our guest. We've got Milan jumping on. Welcome back to the show, Milan Olasky.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
We're excited to have you. Sorry for the confusion on what was going on. But I got to ask you this before we talk about the upcoming match. Obviously, the big news recently is your, future move here to Europe. I'm not even going to try and say the name of this club. You've probably practiced it a million times. So I'm going to let you say it so that we don't butcher it.
FC Nordsjælland.
All right. There we go. I'm not even going to try and repeat it. I'm just going to say you're making your way up to Europe. We've all seen the videos and we've read the articles, you know, that this isn't the path you chose to make it out that way, but congratulations on that move. Let me ask you this. Who was the first person when you found out that this move was going to happen? Who was the first person you told?
Probably my parents or Brian and Eric and Bree, probably my whole family. I messaged them in our chat and just let them all know, and then spoke to all of them when I found out I was going to be going out there to visit and sign my contract and everything a few weeks ago.
How excited were the family to hear about this big move? I'm sure this has been we know this is a dream of yours. I'm sure your parents probably contributed to a lot of your early success in soccer. Your family, your brothers. Who was the most excited out of all of them?
I don't know, to be honest, probably my dad. I think, he was more of like he was the coach and he probably takes a little bit of credit, to be honest. So I'd say probably he was probably the most excited. So, I think everyone was super thrilled though. And, they all know this is what I've always wanted to do. And, they know I'm chasing my dreams and my passion. So they're all extremely happy for me.
Do you have any nerves, I know you're going to finish out the season with OC, but are there any nerves or anything that makes you nervous heading out to a different country, different culture, different foods? What's the most nervous part of making this change?
Yeah, of course. It's been pretty not easy, but comfortable in Orange County for me, and it's going to be a new setting with new people and a new environment. And yeah, like you said, everything will be different from the food to the to where I'm living, the weather, the play, the locker room, everything will be different. So I'm just excited to get started, and I'm very excited, but of course very nervous for all the change, and just ready to get over there and kind of get that first impression out of the way, and then I can just kind of be myself and get straight to having fun and getting to work. So that's what I'm most excited for.
Hey, Milan, Larry here. How you doing, bud?
Hey, I'm good. How about you?
Could not be better. Listen, congratulations, everybody in the County Line Coalition, all of us here on the podcast. We are so incredibly happy for you, and we're also incredibly proud to get to say that we've watched this develop over the last year and a half. Ray mentioned food, and you mentioned food. I spent a little time in Denmark a long time ago. Man, stay away from the pickled herring, okay? Just do yourself the favor. Stay away from it. Trust me on this, okay? Couple of questions for you. Last year when I interviewed you for the article that I wrote for the Orange and Black Soccer Cast for the webpage, you made mention that you bet on yourself coming here to Orange County Soccer Club. Looks to me like you won. How does that feel?
Yeah, it feels great. I think, when I came here, I probably wasn't, really looked at like a top player in, not only in, North America, but in USL, I was kind of coming from MLS where I wasn't playing very much and kind of, a wild card, I would say. But, I decided to come to play and, it could have gone probably one of two ways. So I'm happy, that it worked out and, my hard work paid off. And yeah, of course, it's a great feeling. And, but I feel like I'm not done yet. And this is just kind of my first big step. And I'm excited to get to Denmark and then take it from there, really. And, keep impressing people over there, then who knows what will happen.
Gotcha. And one more, and I think this is probably the most important question you're going to get asked tonight. What is with the playing golf with no shirt and no shoes? Come on, man.
No, that's just it's a great feeling if you haven't done it. I'll say that. But no, it was just, that's a thing I did in Cabo with my brothers when we went on vacation, and we were very lucky to get a play at this course, and it's a very laid back, cool course, relaxed course. So they were cool with it, and we saw some other people doing it, and we were like, that looks unbelievable. So we decided to join.
Just remember, you'll never get the opportunity to do that at Augusta.
Yeah, I would trade Augusta for the shirtless golf round, I think.
I think Dylan's got a couple questions for you. Thanks, Milan.
Yeah, of course.
I do. Milan, how's your Danish?
Terrible. It's a very hard language to learn, actually. I've been trying to learn it, but it's hard to catch on to.
Okay. I wish you the best of luck in that one. I'm sure it's a nightmare. Last year, 31 matches in the league, 22 goals. This year, 12 from 28. Are you confident of getting to 15 with what's left in the year?
Yeah, for sure. I think, I think I have the ability to score goals in any game, and I've kind of changed how I play a little bit this year. I played more in the middle last year, and now I've kind of played out wide a bit more, and kind of, you know, that's just part of my, I think, maturation of the player I'm going to be throughout my career. And, you know, I think it's been good for me because I've learned a lot. But yeah, of course, I think I can reach 15, and, you know, I back myself to score in any game I play in. So yeah, I think, you know, it'll be a tough run in for us with a few hard games, but I think we'll do good, and I'm pretty sure that I can, you know, score a few goals in that span.
All right. More on the team side of things. It does feel like a long time ago now, but we were actually quite poor at one point. Obviously, 12 from 28 is not bad, and part of the reason we are actually doing quite well now. How have you tailored your expectations and your goals with, you know, a run like 10 unbeaten?
It's a team game, and I think, you know, sometimes it gets lost with, you know, stats and talking about individual players, but, you know, at the end of the day, if, you know, you're not winning games, it's not really enjoyable no matter how many goals you score. So I think, you know, this year I've sacrificed kind of that, you know, maybe last year I was a bit more relaxed off the ball and a bit more, you know, able to take breaks defensively and that kind of stuff, which, you know, no one really talked about because I was scoring goals, where I think this year I've done a great job on both sides of the ball and, you know, leading the group and the defensive side of stuff higher up the field. So I think, you know, ever since Morton's come in, you can see how organized we've been and, you know, how, I would say, stingy we've been as a team. And I think that's from, you know, everyone on the field. And he put a big responsibility on my shoulders to kind of lead the front group of guys in that. And that was something I was used to. But, you know, that stuff like that, I, you know, maybe it's taking away from the goals, but at the end of the day, it's helping us win games, which is the most important thing to me. So, you know, I think the difference between this year and last year is really that, to be honest.
All right. So once again, Milan, congratulations. I got a couple questions for you. The first one being, so you're moving over in January instead of immediately. What went into that decision to kind of stay in the States a little bit longer?
I think, you know, the main decision was, it was really between the agents and the front offices between, you know, North Shaolin and Orange County. But, you know, when they brought it up to me, the idea of staying here the rest of the year and playing consistent minutes rather than going over there, I think pretty late in the window where they already did their preseason and they were already getting their season under, they already had one or two games played. You know, I knew that it wouldn't be easy for me to just walk straight in there and play without, you know, ever meeting the team, meeting the coaches, learning the system, everything like that. So I was all for staying and, you know, embracing this playoff run that we hopefully can go on. And yeah, I think, you know, I was happy to hear that, you know, the deal was done and being able to stay at Orange County and go on this playoff run was a bonus for me. And, you know, I didn't have to kind of have a rushed exit, and now I can take my time a little bit and enjoy this end of the season run and, you know, hopefully a long run in playoffs. So I'm really happy and, you know, grateful to be able to go through that with, you know, a great team.
All right. So now that you've kind of done what you've set yourself out to and make it to the European leagues, what advice do you have for kids that are trying to follow in your footsteps and make it overseas themselves. What advice could you give them?
Yeah, I would say, you know, never stop, you know, enjoying it and loving it. And I think, you know, for me, I had times in my professional career where I probably wasn't enjoying it and loving it as much as I should have been. And, you know, you can get kind of caught up in that mindset of, you know, you're not playing or you're not enjoying it or you're going through injuries or whatever it is. And, you know, at the end of the day, if this is what you want to do and this is what you've always loved to do since you were a little kid, you should try and never lose that. And I think for me, enjoying the day to day and enjoying just going out tomorrow training and being able to run around and play with the ball is something I've loved to do since I was little. And that's something that's never going to leave me. So, you know, my advice to people would be just never let that love leave, and, you know, everything else will work itself out.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Milan. You know, congratulations and best of luck to you with the rest of this season with Orange County.
Thank you.
Usually this is the part where Ray chimes in, but he's pulled a Brad. So
I did not remember muting myself, but apparently I did. Milan, apologize for that. Before we let you go, do you have any last message for the fans as we head into this playoff run and hopefully a deep playoff run? What messages do you have to the fans that'll be at any home matches we have? And what do you need from the fans? Not just as an individual, but as a team, what do you guys want from the fans in those home matches?
Yeah, you know, we hear them and, you know, we appreciate all the support and we're working really hard to try and get a home playoff game. And that's our goal. And, you know, we really appreciate all the support from everybody and we hear you every game and it makes a big difference. And, you know, a lot of these games when you're tired and it's tough and you're not really, you know, it's hard to find that inner motivation and you're sore and your legs are heavy that you hear the yelling in the corner and we really appreciate it. And it's something that, you know, definitely doesn't go unnoticed from the players and definitely from the coaches. It's something we talk about before every game is to try and give you guys something to cheer for. So we'll do our best and, you know, we appreciate all the support.
Awesome. You know, as fans, you know, we do the podcast, but we do this because we're fans. We don't get paid for this. We don't make money off this. We're truly fans of Orange County Soccer Club and the players that give their all for the badge. So we appreciate that. We're hoping you all have a successful deep run of the playoffs and hopefully y'all can add one more star to the crest before you head out to Europe and hopefully bigger and better things when you're out there. And maybe someday we'll see you moving on up to, you know, France, England, Spain, wherever you can make it next, right? So thank you for that, and best of luck in these final matches of the season, Milan.
Thank you. I appreciate it, guys.
Thanks, Milan.
Perfect. So that's
it's goal scorer
extraordinaire for your Orange County Soccer Club, Milan Olasky. You know, typically we ask questions about vegetables and music and stuff, but he's been on the show in the past, so I'm assuming we've gone through those questions, and I don't want to put him through those questions again. If we haven't, maybe we'll have to sneak him on when he's out in Europe. We'll have to do like a special 4:30 in the morning episode and get him to join us if he's still able to. Who knows? Dylan's like, nope, he's not going to join us at that point. Yeah, so we have to get into this because Larry promised we would talk about the switchbacks match as much as I was trying to avoid that conversation, but he made a promise that we'd get there.
So I didn't promise anything.
Let's talk about the match. Now, this match was on a Friday instead of a Saturday. So, you know, anyone want to do the math or want to do the research and find out how this team does on a weird night that's not a traditional Saturday match? Also, for those that were wondering, if you were not at the stadium and watching on the stream, there was a bunch of what looked like maybe water or something popping up whenever the ball would roll around. But apparently they were playing on a beach surface and not traditional grass surface. So that's another statistic I'd love to look up, is see how Orange County plays, because we've seen this in the past where there's a bunch of sand dropped on the pitch. And I always, just from what I can remember, maybe I'm wrong, but from what I can remember off the top of my head, Orange County does not do good in those moments when we're playing on a beach. But Orange County drops a match for the first time in a long time. Forgot how that felt. 1-0 to Colorado Springs. I'm going to go to you, Larry, because you're the one that wanted to talk about this match. So what did you want to talk about?
I don't know, man. It was disappointing. It really was. In the first half, Orange County was dominant, and we should have put some goals into the back of the net. The Brian Olofsky free kick just at the top of the 18. I didn't see it that night, but I saw on the replay watching it, when you look at the camera angle from the backside, it's actually deflected just slightly off of one of the Colorado Springs players and into their goalkeeper's hands for the stop. Or getting his hand on it. If that ball doesn't just slightly touch that guy, that ball is going in the back of the net, and it's another brilliant free kick from Brian. I don't know what was going wrong this game. Everything just seemed, you know, after the first half, everything just kind of seemed ugly and flat and uninspired. And that's what makes me nervous going into San Antonio this weekend. We can't play like that, or we're going to end up, you know, getting blown out. San Antonio's too good of a team for Orange County to go in there flat. I don't think they're going to. I think that these two games were a one-off situation, one-off, two-off. And I think that we're going to be fine going into this game. But I'm still a little nervous, and I'm still a little disappointed that we didn't pick up those 5 points that we could have picked up. And I'm hoping that those 5 points don't come back to haunt us come playoff time, you know, a 3 seed versus a 2 seed, or maybe even the possibility of having been a 1 seed. A lot of question marks there. So we'll see what happens Saturday.
I mean, let me just ask, and Dylan, Brad, whoever wants answers, but really, if it wasn't for a really great night from the Switchbacks goalkeeper, Christian Herrera, I mean, it could have been a different story on this. There was multiple good saves. It wasn't even like these are saves that are like kicked right at him or something. Like, these are diving saves. These are fingertip saves. If just one or two of those go past, I think it's a totally different story, right? Who wants to chime in on that? Dylan, Brad, go for it.
Well, yeah, because if a goalkeeper doesn't make 2 saves, typically, yes, you will have scored 2 goals. And that does, in fact, change the scoreline and change the play and how things unfold from there. But I, maybe to a less semantic point, do agree with you. I think Lopez had the best game of his career for us, and on the other side of things, Christian Herrera did very, very well. Look, it happens, and you come up against players sometimes that just have nights like this. There have been a few goalkeepers that have just done this in the past, but we still, I feel, created enough chances that this isn't a, oh my God, we suck again. This is shambolic. We had some off nights. This was an off night. I bet you play this game back, it ends differently. Even if we talk about the goal, yeah, Lopez probably should see it a little bit sooner. You know, I can't see exactly where he's at. I don't have his perspective on it. It does seem like he gets to it late or picks it up late.
I mean, it's a good goal.
But you don't expect. It's a great goal, and you really don't expect that to go in very much. So to make Brad happy, the expected goals on that is probably quite low. And, I mean, we've conceded bangers in the past. Sometimes you get beat by a banger. It happens.
And let me just say this, because I read a lot of like frustration with Lopez in goal, and people weren't too impressed. But we got to remember, he hasn't really played much as of late. He sort of got thrown into the fire. He was training with the Austin 2 team or whatever. But I don't think he really appeared much for them as well. So. Goalkeeper is one of those positions where you're not getting match play. You know, you could practice all you want, but it's a lot different when it's in live match play as opposed to training. So, I mean, yes, because I think we've gotten spoiled with Colin Shuttler and then with Juan Santana having some great appearances for the club, but we got to be realistic. He probably needs a match or two to get into the swing of things, right, Brad?
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, I think this is a case of Herrera having a really good game, like you said. And yes, Lopez should have saved that one goal, as I think really Colorado's only opportunity that they were able to capitalize. Orange County just couldn't find the back of the net. And, you know, I think this game, they did a lot better job of putting it on target. I know I wasn't here to talk about the El Paso game last week, which was a nightmare of just watching us just not be able to create anything. Clearly, there's something missing with Kyle Scott gone. Kyle Scott is kind of the glue that holds that midfield together, who wins the ball back, creates favorable opportunities, stretches the pitch with Dougman. And not having him is noticeable. Kevin Parkitita can't do both of their jobs at the same time. And hopefully he's back by the end of the season, sooner than later. But these are games that Orange County should have been winning. Orange County should have been earning points off of, and should be sitting in second place in the table. Now we're talking about a match away at San Antonio being a must win. The match at home versus Oakland and San Antonio. If those aren't, you know, if we don't win those, we're not even talking about, you know, hosting playoff games anymore at that point. The distance between where we're sitting in third on the table and fifth place on the table really isn't that far off. I think it's like 5 points right now with a couple games left. You know, anything can happen.
Too close.
Exactly.
Let me just say one thing. Quality analysis, though, from you, Brad, you know, with, you know, that goal being like the one opportunity for that shot being the one opportunity for Colorado Springs, because they really only had one shot on target, which was that goal.
Yeah. And so these are games that Orange County, I'm looking up right now. Fifth place is 4 points off, you know, with, I believe it's what, 5 games left, 34 games in a season. Orange County is kind of in must-win mode if they want to host playoff games, and multiple playoff games at that, because sitting in third place, you're hosting one, maybe two if you're lucky. While if you're sitting in second and first, you're hosting a majority. And first isn't uncatchable, but Orange County needs to win out and hope Sacramento drops a couple points in order to get that first place. So reasonably, if Orange County can beat San Antonio twice, second place is very achievable because we control the destiny against them.
Let me go to Larry's question that he put on the comments in YouTube really quick. Probably similar to what Harry was saying earlier, is you're trying to get those minimum games played to be able to be qualified or to qualify as a player on the roster for the playoffs. And I would assume, depending on what's happening with Shuttler, Orange County probably wants that veteran and at least a second goalkeeper with some experience to be on the roster for the playoffs. If Shuttler can't play in the playoffs, maybe you want to have Santana and Lopez in there. Brad?
Yeah, I do have questions. So does appearing on the roster and not playing in a game count towards earning that? Because if that's the case, Santana also doesn't qualify, because I think he's only played, what, 2, maybe 3 games at this point in the season?
I honestly don't know how that works.
I would assume that, yeah, you do actually probably have to appear in the match, which would involve playing. If it got to that point, I wouldn't be surprised if the league made an exception. I feel like
especially
there was some fishiness, yeah, with Jordan Farr a few years ago. And I think if you look at a player that's been on your roster the whole season, yeah, I think they would allow that to happen, because it makes the league a farce if they don't allow you to replace a goalkeeper that's been injured.
But again, that could very well be the reason why you're giving game time, because maybe there is that exception that could be made for someone that's been on the roster all season. But with a late sign, you probably want to get those appearances just so you don't have to worry about then, you know, leaving it up to the league and their determination on what they're going to allow and what they're not going to allow at that point, right? And I would assume, too, the club's looking at it as, hey, if Shuttler can't play in the playoffs, do we want to leave it in the hands of an 18-year-old goalkeeper with limited experience, or do we want to at least have someone that has some experience between the post as a professional, although it may have been with G2, and whatnot. But, you know, again, Lopez just has more experience between the posts in competitive matches. Who do you want to leave it in for the playoffs? I would assume the club's leaning towards the more experienced goalkeeper, regardless of what they think of Santana and his future with the club or his future prospects. Let's do this because we're running low on time. And I know Dylan talked about it before we went live that, hey, you know, let's Our first episode went under an hour, but then at some point we decided, hey, let's do 2.5 hour, you know, movie length episodes. And we're trying to now keep all of our episodes at an hour. So we got it really quick. Brad, I'm going to hand it to you, a quick recap of the scoring predictions, if you want to share.
Yeah, I'll make it as quick as possible. Shout out to my girlfriend, the only person who predicted a loss and therefore earned more than 1 point.
Excuse me. I also predicted a loss. Thank you.
Did you put it in the spreadsheet?
No, I stopped doing that weeks ago.
Okay, then,
so then it
you
doesn't
didn't
count.
A loss.
You did not predict
old,
a loss.
Old man here. Yells at cloud.
All right, let's get into our random thoughts for this episode. And because we haven't heard a random thought, and it's probably a book thought, I'm going to go to Dylan first.
I don't know how random this is, but it. I don't love the fact that Billy Joe Armstrong, who I'm like 99% sure lives in Costa Mesa, is now a minority owner of Oakland. I get it's cool, it's hip. It's an attractive brand to hitch your wagon to. I mean, come on, man.
Isn't he also though?
There's a
Bay Area.
Right here.
Yeah.
Isn't he maybe I'm wrong. Does he not live in Costa Mesa? Maybe this is why. Maybe I'm hating for no reason.
I think he has dual residence. I think he's in Bay Area and Southern California.
What is he, a dual citizen? That's not how this works.
Of the same state.
He's not running for office. We're not just coming up with, you know, he lives 182 days out of the year here. So get packing, nerd. Yeah, I don't know.
He was born in Oakland.
What do you want me to? Fine. Look at where he chose to live. I mean, Brad was born in North Carolina and lives in you know, I'm not sure that's any better. Respectfully,
but
Brad.
I'm sure Brad would still invest in North Carolina FC if he had the chance.
Just we'll get to my rebuttals and my random thoughts.
All right, go, Brad. Great. What's your rebuttal?
All right. Well, first of all, Billy Joe Armstrong, Green Day was founded in Berkeley, which is closer to Oakland than it is to Orange County. Second of all, he's actually been to quite a bit of games. I have a bunch of Reno friends who still go down to Oakland games from time to time, and they've actually seen him at games prior to this acquisition. So it seems like he's been a fan for quite a while. Third of all, North Carolina was great. I didn't choose to leave under my own volition. I still have them on my wall. And if Orange County plays in North Carolina next year, I am booking a cross-country ticket for that game. For so my album of the week,
really quick. Basically, hold on, Brad. Basically, suck it, Dylan. Go, Brad. What's your album of the week?
I got Fiddler on the Roof, the original motion picture soundtrack, because, you know, it is such
motion
a great
picture.
Yeah. You know, it was a motion picture with Topol.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Great.
How do you
great
feel
movie,
about cats on a hot tin roof?
I did not catch what you said. Sorry, my internet went out, which means Larry, random thoughts for this episode.
Random thought. It's a rant. Okay, here we go. I saw a ridiculous stat the other day. Major League Baseball umpires have missed 940 ball strike calls last week. So I'm going to do some math here. There's about 300 pitches thrown in a Major League Baseball game every single game. If all 30 teams play in a day, that's 15 games. 15 games times 300 is 4,500 pitches a day. Most teams play 6 games in a week. 4,500 pitches times 6 games, 27,000 pitches, and Major League umpires missed 940 ball/strike calls. That is 0.348% missed calls. Anybody who wants robo umpires in baseball can, excuse me, I'm about to go DX and say, suck it. I'm done.
Please bring the robots to baseball. And
are
while
you okay? Do you know?
Can you imagine Rosie the robot behind, you know, home plate calling balls and strikes?
It's a good thing.
Rosie the Riveter robot.
Well, that's Bender. Bender is the Riveter. Let me get into my random thoughts. And is there any shock what my random thoughts are going to be? Who can guess? Random thoughts.
Oh my God.
We're out of time. 60 minutes.
Thank you, everybody. It's been a wonderful hour with you all.
Really quick, I gotta give props. I gotta give props really quick. You can't cut me off. My gosh. Really quick, mute Brad, please. Props to my boys team. They are now top of the table after two matches, 2-0 with a plus 16 goal differential after they beat their opponent 10-1 this past weekend. Go LNYSA Select. For Brad, for Dylan, for Larry, for producer Andy, our guests, Harry from San Antonio Soccer Roundtable, and also Orange County SC goal scorer extraordinaire, Milan Olasky. This is the Orange and Black Soccer Cast. We are out.